Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In today's Bible Adventure, the Lord Jesus was close to the end of his ministry when he gave this parable about using one's talents and skills. Some people think that they can't do anything to help others, but after praying to God, find a place to minister their skills. At the same time, they receive opportunities to tell people about the peace that the Lord Jesus offers them with his Father in heaven.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants.
Yes, Master?
You are one of my best servants.
Thank you, Master.
I'm going away. While I am gone, you are to take care of part of my goods.
I shall take the best of care of them, Master.
Yes, I'm sure you will. For the God of heaven has given you an unusual amount of wisdom, willpower, and concern for others and their possessions. You have not let God's gifts to you lie useless. You have been active and studied and developed those abilities you were born with. That is why I leave the greater portion of my possessions in your care. You shall be responsible for these 5 talents.
What shall I do with them, Master?
Just take care of them against my return. How you do it, I leave it to your discretion.
I shall do the very best I can, Master.
You called me, my master?
I did. I want you to meditate and think upon one fact. Though I leave you with only 1 talent, remember that 1 talent is as important as many talents. In fact, you have to have 1 talent before you can have 2, and 2 before you can have 4.
Very true, master. Very true.
I shall require an accounting when I return.
Now that the master has gone on his journey, what are you going to do with the talents he left in your charge?
Exactly what he would do with it. Put them to use. Increase them. Do good with them.
But what if you lose?
If, like the master himself, I am fair and honest and above board in my dealing, I shall not lose. Perchance I do, though, I'm sure the master will understand and forgive.
Just exactly what did the master want me to do with the talent he left me? There isn't much one can do with just 1 talent. Had he left me many talents, then I would use and increase them so that he would have more on his return, but not just 1 talent. The best thing to do is to hide it, bury it deep in the ground where no one will find it and steal it. Yes, that's what I will do.
Welcome home,
we
Master.
We missed you, Master.
I'm certainly glad you're back, Master.
I've been gone a long time, and I'm glad to be back. Are you all prepared to give me an accounting?
Yes, Master.
Any time, Master.
I surely am, Master.
You give me an accounting first. You other two wait in the outer chamber.
Yes,
as
Master.
As you wish, my Master.
Let me see. I left 5 talents with you.
Here they are, Master. And here, Master, are 5 other talents. I put the original 5 talents to work, Master, and increased them to 10.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
Well, my Master, I have good tidings for thee.
Indeed?
Thou trusted me with 1 talent, and behold, Lord, I knew that thou wast a careful, prudent man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not planted. I was fearful, lest I lose thy 1 talent, so I hid it in the earth. And lo, Lord, here is thy talent that thou gavest me to keep.
Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers and increased it. Therefore the talent shall be taken from thee, and given unto him who hath 10 talents.
Unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath.
This parable of the Lord Jesus is listed only in Matthew chapter 25. The word talent can mean natural ability, but in ancient times it meant a unit of weight or money. Some Bibles suggest a talent was worth about $5,000, which is a large sum of money for most people. The best servant was given great responsibility by receiving his 5 talents, but he did very well with them. So did the servant given 2 talents. The third servant, however, only received 1 talent. He was lazy and didn't have his master's best interests at heart. People can sometimes have the attitude that if they'd been given a lot, then they would have made an effort. But God expects us to be faithful in all the small things first, before we're given more important jobs to do. If we can't do the small things well, then we won't succeed with the big tasks either. We can fool ourselves if we try to do things differently from God's plan for us. The man going on a journey in the parable is the Lord Jesus. Jesus has given gifts to his followers that are both spiritual and natural. He also gives different gifts to different people according to their ability. Some may receive more than others, but whatever Jesus gives each of us, he wants us to use our gifts for the glory of God. In modern times, the world places great value on natural gifts, but such gifts won't turn into anything useful unless self-discipline and hard work are applied. Even successful and famous people keep working hard to use their particular talent to the best of their ability for extending God's kingdom. There isn't a time when a believer in Christ can sit back and think that the road forward should be easy from now on. Sometimes when a person is successful at one talent, God redirects their focus into doing something else for the people around them. A young man brought up in a Christian family in the United States during the early 1800s wanted to become an artist. When this young man, Samuel Morse, finished his education, his parents counseled him not to become a full-time artist, but rather a bookseller by day and a painter at night when he had the time. Samuel did this until it became obvious to his parents that he was becoming a good artist. They then supported Samuel by scraping together the money needed for sending him to a London art school. In London, Samuel Morse learnt to paint very well from his tutor, but war broke out in 1812 when he was only 21 years old. As the war was between America and Britain, Samuel's parents were naturally very concerned about him. Letters home to his family across the ocean took months to arrive, but Samuel's parents took comfort in knowing that Samuel loved and trusted the Lord Jesus, and his faith was serious. Samuel had kept a diary since he was 13 years old. Each day he answered questions like, "How did I pray? Did I feel weighed down with sin? Did I pray like the self-righteous Pharisee? Have I received blessings for which I've not been thankful?" After 3 years, Samuel returned to the United States and in time got married. Only after 7 years of marriage, his wife died. Samuel was away at the time painting and didn't hear the sad news for several days. He wished that there had been a way of getting a message from one place to another when his family needed him. He was so very sorry about his absence that he nearly gave up painting. In 1832, Samuel Morse sailed to New York, where he'd been appointed as a professor of painting and sculpture. One day on board the ship, he heard some passengers discussing electricity. He joined the group and asked if electricity could be conducted through only short lengths of wire. Any known length could be used, he was told. Suddenly, Samuel had an idea. Maybe electricity could transmit messages. For the rest of the trip, he worked on an alphabetical system that was later called the Morse code. The only symbols that he made up were a dash and a dot. Common letters had short codes, and lesser-used letters had longer codes. When Samuel started to build his telegraph with odd pieces of things and prove its worth, no one was interested in his invention. After much hard work and many financial difficulties, in May 1844, a cable was laid a distance of 180 miles to New York. A group of spectators waited and wondered if Samuel's telegraph would work. They watched as Samuel tapped out a series of dots and dashes that travelled along the line and back again before being printed out. The message came from the Bible book Numbers chapter 23. What hath God wrought? Or to put it in modern words, what a wonderful thing God has done. Samuel Morse gave all the glory to God. He said, "It's God's work. He alone could have carried me through all my trials and enabled me to triumph over all the obstacles." The Morse code system of communication was the first quick method of sending messages from one location to another around the world. The patience Samuel Morse learnt as a painter helped him to be a good inventor. Those Christians who start out with natural ability still have to work hard and practice their skills. Then God can use their talents to achieve things that they may never have dreamed of doing when they were young. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul spoke of various kinds of gifts, yet noted that they were all given by the same Holy Spirit. Everything we have is a gift of God, and this includes the Holy Spirit. The only thing we can call our own is our sin that we ask God to pardon. In the parable, when man returned from his long journey, he called his servants to give an account of what they'd done. The first two were praised and given rewards. But when it came to the third servant's turn, the servant was disrespectful to his master and tried to defend himself and escape punishment. The master asked why he hadn't put the talent with the bank, so at least he could have earned some interest on it when he returned. The third servant had cheated his master by not rightly using what he'd been given. Then the only talent given to the third servant was taken off him and given to the first. The third servant had deliberately set himself up to fail his master's orders. His disobedience and laziness may have saved him the bother of working to increase his master's talent in the short term, but eventually it cost him everything. The unprofitable servant was thrown out of his master's house and left to suffer greatly. This parable is a warning to us. If we don't use our spiritual and material blessings wholeheartedly in God's service, they will be taken away from us. If we reject Jesus' gifts and refuse to serve him, we will bring eternal judgment and condemnation upon ourselves. We can bring sorrow, hurt, disappointment, and insult to God's Holy Spirit by the way we live our daily lives. We need to remember that Jesus has identified each believer as his own, guaranteeing that each one will be saved on the day of redemption. The Apostle Paul teaches believers in Ephesians chapter 4 not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Every time we turn back to the old worldly behavior we once rejected in order to follow the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit draws away as our teacher and comforter. Paul lists three things to be extra careful about: sinning against others with our anger, stealing and using degrading and unbeneficial talk. Paul urges believers everywhere that while we wait for the Lord to return, let us invest our lives and earn dividends for God the Father's glory. Christ gives us opportunities that match our abilities, and in God's sight, the one talent servant is just as important as the five talent servant. The key is our faithfulness, for God measures us against ourselves and not by comparing us against other servants. Are you afraid to step out by faith and take some risks for God? When Jesus returns, there'll be a time of praise for his faithful servants. We'll learn with surprise that some of the things that we did and thought insignificant will be rewarded by the Lord. However, this parable isn't teaching salvation by good works. Some people might say that they're Christians, yet they don't have the Holy Spirit living inside them because they've never fully forsaken their sin or committed themselves to follow the Lord Jesus in every way. How about you? Are you ready to meet the Lord at any time? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "Have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honour him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have in you, but do it with gentleness and respect. Keep your conscience clear." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.